And welcome to the program, Sam Rogovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Happy Sunday. I know it's winding down. We're getting ready to go back to the office tomorrow, most of us. And that's okay. That's good. But now, you're tuned in. You're here for, I don't know, just a still a little recap of everything that happened next week. You want to be in the picture, know what's going on. Have a good little refresh before the week starts in earnest. And also it's just good to kind of get beyond the headlines. And that's what we do here. Okay. Now we don't care about feelings. This is not a safe zone. So if you're expecting to be coddled, if you are expecting a safe space, please turn the dial now, because it's not going to be pretty today. We are going to say things here on this program that might offend you or a millennial you love. And out of that offense, you know, it's true. You might actually experience a change of opinion, which does happen from time to time. Now I'm so grateful. I get 2 hours now. So on Saturday, 3 o'clock, if you missed a show, download the podcast. We usually put it up within an hour of going on air. And so it gets up pretty quick. We put it up this way. If you missed any part of it, you can listen to me and what we have to say here on your own time. And that's perfect. We were just ending the show. And this is great. Why I get love having 2 hours now, because I want to talk about this gun violence thing. We were talking about the Couric documentary. And if you haven't heard, Katie Couric does this documentary, and it's just total nonsense. She has, what does she have? She gets people in there who are pro gun control. And then she gets a group that's anti gun control. And when she asks them a really tough question, you know, why do you not favor background checks? The next part of the video pans to the whole group of people just silent and looking guilty and looking, stumped. And we find out later, well, somebody there in the group was smart enough to record the thing, because apparently they have zero trust for the liberal media. Turns out that they started giving her answers. Now, I'm personally for background checks on guns. Okay, I think that the crowd that advocates no background checks on guns are just a little bit nutty for me. And I'll tell you, the NRA, and I'm a member of the NRA, the NRA, for the most part, I mean, it's not a fight that they pick, okay? They don't want onerous restrictions, but they're fine with a background check, okay? It's okay. And there can be some, most of us agree, most gun owners agree that you can have some reasonable restrictions on the right to bear arms, okay? So, the entire thing with that exchange, and we were talking about it, not necessarily when we were talking about, we're talking about yesterday, you know, context of liberal media and media bias, media slant, and showing how when they pretended that these people were stumped, but there's an audio recording where they're giving answers, we're showing, look, this is, they have a pre-configured narrative and an answer. In the context of that narrative, any answer is inconvenient. And this is interesting, because, you know, where I come from, at least just my personal orientation in all of this, is that why not have a robust discussion? I mean, the answer that the guy starts to give, and I won't go into it, but it's kind of nonsense. I mean, I don't know. I don't agree. You know, if somebody there's a violent crime and they get let out after 5 years, you know, just because they're out of jail doesn't mean maybe their gun rights should be restored. I don't know. There's a reasonable argument that you have to engage in when you disagree with somebody. And just turning their microphone off is not how you do it. And this is where the liberal media is so used to just turning off the microphone. They controlled all information, ABC, NBC, CBS, that's it. 7 major newspapers, that's it. Done. And so you could just turn the volume down. Juanita Broderick accusing Bill Clinton of rape when he was running for president. had a credible story. They pulled the plug on it. They pulled the plug on it. And then, do we still have those Obama clips? I think these are so good. Where are they on my staff? These clips are so good. I think it's clip 15 going a little. No. Clip 20. Clinton is running for president. Woman accuses him of rape. They pull the plug on it. They will not report it. Bill Clinton is president. They have the Linda Tripp tapes. Newsweek has the Linda Tripp tapes. And they sit on the news story. And Drudge, Matt Drudge, who's just some guy with a little tinky little website, is going, oh my gosh, they're sitting on the biggest piece of news, the biggest scandal facing Bill Clinton. He's lied under oath, right? That's the real issue, right? I have not had any relations with this woman. I have not had any relations with this woman. Oh no, not me. Yeah. And there it is. You got address, you got tapes, you got admissions, yeah, da 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 da. And they sit on it. Why? Because it's their guy. They like Bill. Doesn't fit the narrative. It's an inconvenient truth. So remember, so this is just something that happens with presidents? Do they just protect presidents? Oh no. Man, was anybody around during Bush? I mean, Bush 43. He got a Bush 41 too. I mean, come on. Every gaffe was replayed everywhere. Remember, this is why I'm going back to this clip. You remember, so Obama's talking about drilling, which he knows about as little about. This is a law professor tying his shoelaces right here. You have the tape. You got this clip, Robbie? Let's play it.
If we don't deepen our ports all along the Gulf, places like Charleston, South Carolina, sure, or Savannah, Georgia, or
okay.
Jacksonville, Florida.
If we don't deepen our ports in the Gulf, meaning the the Gulf of Mexico, then places like, did I hear Charleston? What a dumbass. I mean, look, Charleston, now I know I lived in North Carolina, so I know my geography a little bit. I lived in Durham. Charleston is not in the Gulf of Mexico. I will give him credit, though, that it is a coastal town and that there is a harbor. So he's got that going for him. But, you know, no more is Charleston on the Gulf than is Stockton on the Gulf. Okay? So I'm, you know, it's like saying Long Beach Harbor is near Roanoke. Yeah, it's crazy stuff. So, but the thing is that this is the hilarious thing. I think, do we have the other clip? Obama's such a robot, so of course, you know, his whole script, he just keeps repeating it, even if it's wrong. So that was on Leno. 2 days later, he's on another show. He's talking in Jacksonville. It's a press conference, and roll the tape there. Number 25.
Especially, by the way, in some of these Gulf ports. Charleston, Savannah. And now these ports are on track to be better prepared.
Yeah, just cut the tape. Yeah, so again, I mean, there it is. He's just saying it again. Can you imagine what the media would do? What the media would do if Trump said something like that? Oh my gosh, just unfit to be president. He's just doesn't even know basic American geography. But Obama gets a pass. And that's kind of the narrative here. It is. And so, you know, as the facts are still coming in and what happened this week, last week at UCLA, we know now that it's just two people dead. And apparently this poor professor gets attacked by one of his students. And at any rate, if you were watching the news or following the news, you'll remember exactly how that story unfolded. It was the whole narrative, the anti-gun narrative, just cue anti-gun people. And they all got on TV. They all got on the radio. And they'd all jumped the shark because they started talking about, we have gun control. There's mass shootings and, this is another Sandy Hook and this is another Virginia Tech and da, 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 da. Well, the problem was, is that's not what happened. And suddenly it's just as soon as the narrative didn't fit the agenda, it was just, and it got shut down and it just disappeared. And that you've got to be critical of the press. And that's why when you watch these documentaries, it's ostensibly ought to be these fact pieces. You got to realize that they're anything but. They're anything but. Did you see? I have to get to this before we have to take a break. The vegan sausage attack? Is this crazy? Some right-wing extremists in Tbilisi, Georgia, that is not on the Gulf, but rather in Europe, in the Balkans. They apparently attacked a vegan cafe wielding sausages. Yes, you get it. Sausages. A giant brawl. You know, I bet they have really good gun control in Georgia, is my guess. But you can still get attacked by a mob of people with sausages. Only minor injuries were reported, thankfully. But apparently this all had to do over anger and that this vegan thing, this whole vegan movement is going against Georgian culture. Where do you even go with that? I guess there's conflict everywhere in the world. You just sausage attack. It's violent everywhere you look. Yeah, and that's assault. Somebody hits you with a sausage, that's assault. And I'm not talking about Bill Clinton. Okay, back after this. Sam Brzozowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
What are you doing this weekend? I'm James Bergener, and I'm listening to Sam Nation right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Customers at the vegan cafe where the sausage attack took place said the group of rowdy men entered the cafe just as a movie screening was underway, and they are wearing sausages around their necks and carrying slabs of meat on skewers. Now, to me, that's a welcome sight. You know, you show up at my place with some slabs of meat and sausages around your neck, I know the party's going to get started. Apparently not at the Kiwi Cafe. According to a statement by witnesses, they pulled out some grilled meat, sausages, and fish, and started eating them and throwing them at us. And finally, they started to smoke. They were just trying to provoke our friends and disrespect us. That's pretty good. I mean, look. I have some sympathy for these sausage wielding men in that how many of you are sick of hearing from vegans and all of their nonsense? Let me in. How many of you have had a vegan go off, and maybe not right in person, but you get that Facebook post. Up comes this Facebook post and I'm so much superior than you. I feel so much better. I'm like, look at your fat ass. You still look exactly the same as you. Oh my God. Oh, good for you. Pat on the back. You've done something of consequence for 2 weeks straight.
I'm so principled. Look at me.
Every time I see one of those posts, if you're one of my friends that have gone vegan and are friends with me on Facebook, I'm sorry. I mean you. Yeah, I want to whip out a nice grilled piece of meat and just whack you over the head with it. You're damn right I want to. I mean, I do. So there it is. But again, this is not what we encourage on the program. We encourage discourse, differing opinions, and let's talk it through. Let's argue about it. But keep your sausage meats holstered. So, You know, speaking of this gun violence thing, it's one of my favorite subjects because I always like to tackle places where discourse goes towards feelings and not towards common sense. I understand that there are people that think guns are scary. And do you know why I understand that? Because guns are scary. You know, anything that you can hold in your hand, put bullets into, fire and kill people, that's scary. And you know what? Guns in the hands of the right people are a good thing. Hey, you accept that premise, I would hope. Otherwise, you would arm the cops with Nerf batons. But if you're a Black Lives Matter protester, that's exactly what you want. You wouldn't even let him have a sausage, would you? That's what I remember my French teacher, bless your heart, Mrs. Bowler, if you're out there, I'm thinking of you. My French teacher told me, oh, France. France is such a wonderful place. This is, I'll give you the year, 1996. France is such a, Paris, it's such a safe city. The police aren't even armed. You know, and gullible Sam Nation Jr. walks home, says to my mom, Madame Bowler says that, it's pretty safe down there in Paris. It's pretty safe. And my mom, who lived in Paris in the 60s, was like, what the crap are you talking about? I remember gendarmes on the streets with machine guns. I don't know what Bowler's smoking, but, get a grip. And sure enough, it seems almost a laughable premise for us today. The whole concept of a gun-free society, because that's what Bowler, again, Mrs. Bowler, sorry I'm throwing you under the Citroen bus, but what you told me there, I thought about it. I considered it. I've been considering it all these years, and you were right in the sense that there was a movement in the 80s and 90s to neuter the French police, to make them peacemakers, walk around and keep things under control and community visibility. And in the meantime, people are planning wars with machine guns and bombs. And so what do we have now? I mean, Paris is one of the most militarized cities. And it happened, I hate to tell you this because it's part of the inconvenient narrative, but it happened because it was turned into a giant gun-free zone. I go to Utah. My wife's family is from a place called Centerville, Utah, which is near Salt Lake City. And I go there often. Once you get outside of, the gay part of Salt Lake City, you get outside of it. Basically, every third person is carrying a gun. It's like Texas. All you do, you pass a background check. There's a gun training course and you can carry a weapon. It's a shall issue state. And the funny thing about that is there's very low incidence of shootings in Utah. There's one mass shooting in Utah I can think of. It happened in Trolley Square. I want to say it was about 8 years ago or so, 7 years ago. Robbie, you might remember it. 7 years ago. Anyway, and it was a mass shooting that was stopped by a guy carrying a gun. I think it was an off-duty cop, but it was a guy carrying a gun. Here's what stops people from shooting other people with guns. Now, you can do one of two things. Remove all guns or not. Right. That's the first step. You can take all guns away from everybody. Now, we're a nation of 300 odd million people. We're really big. It's a really big country. Can you remove all guns? No, you cannot do it. If you outlaw a good that is out there in thousands and thousands and thousands of thousands of varieties out there in people's homes, in their safes, under their mattresses, you're not ever going to get rid of them. You're not. They're there. So if you outlaw guns, which is what the Bloomberg fantasists want, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. People like me, who are law-abiding guys and gals who have who have jobs and homes that they don't want to lose. We don't want to go to jail. What are we going to do? We're going to take our gun. We're going to go to a local police station and we're going to surrender it. Okay? Now, do you think that the felon who's planning a home invasion robbery in your neighborhood is going to surrender his firearm? Are you insane? If you actually think that the answer to that question is yes, you are insane. Look at the South. I mean, everybody's talking about this gorilla. I mean, it's crazy. I get that a gorilla was shot protecting a kid. Kid falls in the thing. We're talking about it all week. How many people have been shot in Chicago in the month of May? It was the deadliest month on record. Was 29 people dead? Deadliest May on record. Anybody talking about it? No, we're talking about a gorilla that got shot at the zoo. And here's why we're not talking about it. Because Illinois is a major gun-free zone. So where do shootings happen? They happen in gun-free zones. More shootings happen in states where there's a lot of gun control. This is just a fact of life. You know, the Washington Post, they did a great little article on this the other day. This is what they led with. I mean, the gun violence is declining, except in gun-free zones. And then they have a sign here, which just, I mean, I love this sign right here. We'll put this up on the website because this really ought to be a meme. It's so funny. It's one of these gun-free school zone signs. It's got a picture of a snub-nosed revolver, which is a handgun, and it's crossed out. And there's also a syringe. So it's like, don't bring drugs and don't bring guns on campus. Okay. But okay, so that's right. Underneath this sign, it says what? Violators will face severe federal, state, and local criminal penalties. That's right. Now, if you're planning a mass shooting, are you going to look at that sign and go, oh, shoot. Damn, I miscalculated. I'm going to face some severe federal, state, and local criminal penalties. Yeah, never mind. Sorry, my bad. I'm going to go home now and go shoot up an Alpha Beta. No. The hell you're not. You're going to go in there and blazing because you don't give a crap about any federal, state, and local criminal penalties because you're about to commit mass murder. This show is not about intellectual lofty positions. It's about basic common sense. We got to get back to it. We've got to get back to common sense. And the gun debate is one of those areas. It is. So what do they figure? In 1993, this is according to the Washington Post. In 1993, there were seven homicides by firearm for every 100,000 Americans. By 2013, that figure had fallen by nearly half to 3.6 per 100,000. Now, this decline is explained as it correlates with the massive increase of privately owned firearms over the same period of time. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit the narrative. Number of firearms being owned, going into private hands, going up. The number of gun violence deaths going down. What could it be? Well, the Bloombergs are scratching their heads because it's the feelings. It's the damn feel. If your answer to any debate is what you feel, then you're not having a discussion. You're not arguing your position. And that, well, you guys know who this Milo guy is. I gotta tell you what happened at UCLA the same day of the mass shooting, quote unquote. Milo was speaking. If you don't know who he is, I'm going to tell you all about him right after this. Back after a short break. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation every weekend.
Well, now imagine that you're listening to the Sam Nation show. You're on the radio, freeway, listening to the radio, and smash, boom, somebody rear-ends you. And you're in shock. You know, the pain hasn't even set in yet. You're shocked from what happened. You get out of your car. You look at what, you know, you look at the damage. All you see is headache. You know you're going to have to deal with your car. You know you're going to struggle to get to work the next day. You know that now you're going to have to go to the doctor and set up appointments. And you also know, or maybe you don't, but you're going to have to be dealing with this crazy insurance adjuster on the other side. They're not going to believe anything you say. They're going to fight you tooth and nail. And at the end of it, after you jump through all these hoops, they're going to offer you, I don't know, $200 and hope you go away. And that's not what you're going to do. It's exactly not what you're going to do. You're going to worry about going to work, going to the doctor, and you're going to let attorney James Bergner do the rest. His friends call him Sweet James, and there's a reason. You'll know that reason when you talk to him. Let him worry about the insurance company. Let him handle all the stuff that needs to happen. Let him argue with the adjuster who doesn't want to pay you a dime even though you were severely injured. Don't do that. Just turn it over to James and have him and his team take care of you. He's done it for you and countless others. $400 million in settlements and verdicts, going strong. Been in business 12th year now. Solid, solid firm. And with people, not just James himself, but everyone there, compassionate and caring. So do this. You've got anything like that going on, injury, dealing with another side, another party, give James a call. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. Okay, so, well, I mean, if you get, you know, that's why my biggest fear is I'm going to have some guy pull a gun on me in traffic. Why do people get so angry in traffic? I don't know. It's just the road, right? I mean, that's it. You know, I don't care if you're one car length ahead of me. I'm not a lesser person if you pass me. I'm not disrespected by you if you cut me off. I might laugh at you and draw conclusions based on your ethnicity about your driving prowess. But I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to honk my horn. I'm not going to yell at you. And I just had another one of those things happen. So maybe I'm just a really crappy driver. But I don't know. It's an angry Bernie guy in a Subaru. They're always angry. Libs are always so angry, especially when they see a guy in a white shirt, a tie, and a nice car. Nothing sets them off like a man succeeding. Okay. We're talking about violence in gun-free zones. I'm going to tie it all into Milo. I just want to explain something. Why? You're thinking, Sam, why? Why? What's your thing about the gun-free zone? So violence is going up in gun-free zones. What is it? There's still people bringing in guns, obviously. Like, the problem is that people are shooting people. They have access to weapons. In some cases, they're getting those weapons legally. So how is the gun-free zone the problem? The problem is allowing them to have the gun in the first place. Wrong. Because here's the thing. Go into the psyche of a mass shooter. They're attention-seeking for whatever cause they have. It is attention-seeking. Terrorism, this is a fundamental principle of terrorism. If you disagree, I submit to you 9/11. I don't mean to make light of it, but you know, but you get bigger ratings the more people you kill. It's that simple. You know, the terrorist attack on four people in a cafe does not get in the same billing as the September 11th, where thousands of people die. If you're a terrorist, you're planning a big hit. Why are you planning a big hit? Because you want to take down as many people. Why? Because you want to be visible for your message. And mass shooters, if they have a message or not, they're still looking for visibility. So, to get visibility, what do you need to do? You need to shoot a lot of people. What do you want them to be? You want them to be unarmed, right? I mean, you don't want to walk into a bank and start shooting. Okay, last place you want to commit a mass shooting is a Cartier, okay? You go to the Cartier store, fancy jewelry store, you're going to be dead in about 2 seconds. You also don't want to be like that guy in Irvine. We actually knew this guy, not going to get into it, but this guy we knew in Irvine who decided to go and shoot up the LL counter, make a statement what was this? Yeah, it was 2002. Goes to LAX, shoots up the L counter. Okay, you don't open fire at an Israeli airline counter. The Israelis are ready for your... I'm just a pro tip here. The Israelis are ready for you. Sure enough, I mean, he got, unfortunately, got two people, before, but he was shot dead by an armed security officer hired by LL. That's how that works. So, but again, he was hoping it's an airport. It's, you know, people are leaving their guns at home. It's a gun-free zone, whatever. The thing is when you want to shoot a lot of people, I don't want to belabor this point, you're going to go and do it someplace where there's nobody with a gun because you want to shoot as many people before you get stopped. And so if you, and I think there's a movement, you know, letting teachers bring guns to school. And, you know, it's an optics thing. You know, it's not even, I know you're thinking, that's Sam, that's ridiculous. I mean, I don't want my son's kindergarten teacher toting a gun. Okay, you know what I don't want? I don't want my son sitting there every day in elementary school like a sitting duck and it being a high-profile target to the next wingnut who wants to go in and start blazing. Because if that wingnut thinks, hey, you know what? Mr. Dolan over there, you know, he might be packing. He's a kind of a mean guy, you know? Or, hey, you know, Mrs. Smith or whomever, you know, she might have some, you know, some thunder waiting for me, you know? That's the thing. It keeps people in check. Did you have mass shootings in the Wild West? It's a silly question. You couldn't walk into a saloon and open fire. Because if you tried to do it, you'd be gone in a matter of seconds. Everyone's armed. It creates a checks and balance. And what you don't want to do, what you don't want to do, you can have a discussion about doing things to make it difficult for people who shouldn't be armed to arm themselves. And I'm all about that discussion. But what you don't want to have, is a scheme, are laws in place, a system that disarms the people that are law abiding, the potential and prospective defenders of innocent life. You don't want to do that. So the same day as the UCLA attacks, Milo Yanovich, Yiannopoulos, excuse me. He's an executive editor over at Breitbart UK. He's got a cute British accent. He is, I will say by his own admission, flaming gay. And this guy, if you haven't seen him, you must do it. Because he is a libertarian one-man band machine. And he's at UCLA, and he's talking, he's got an event, and the entrances are all blocked by protesters. This is the same thing that's going on with Trump. These protesters are blocking these Trump rallies. And I'm thinking to myself, look, if you don't like what the dude is saying, don't block him from speaking. That's not how this country works. We don't censor speech unless we're Facebook, Twitter, and others. I will talk about that. But we don't censor speech. This is not who we are. We argue things out. So anyway, so Milo, and this guy's got a highlight reel. I mean, this is just what, yeah, we'll put it up on the website. But one of the things that he says, he gives a talk on a college campus, and this was at UCLA, and he says, it's starting to dawn on them. Now he's talking about all the people we rail against here on the program, all the safe space people and all the Black Lives Matter mumbo jumbo victimologists. Okay. He's saying it's starting to dawn on them that saying racist is not going to shut people up anymore. Now you've got to come with facts. This is the best part in it. Some feminist in the back of the room, this girl looks like she'd spent, you know, half of last week chained to a tree. She goes, you're spreading hate. Yeah, you're spreading hate. And, I love the audience at some point in this, you know, so the audience starts going, build a wall. They start chanting, build a wall. Because this is great. It's on a college campus, and there's actually people chanting Trump slogans. Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to follow up on this to see what kind of steps the administration took. But at any rate, she goes, you're spreading hate. And you know, as the audience is chanting, Milo yells at her, hey, you see, sweetheart, nobody's buying what you're selling anymore. And this is it. This thematically fits with what we were talking yesterday, what we're talking about today. You got to challenge these assertions that are made in the media, these presupposed facts, these premises. Because the very way that conservatives are asked questions are bogus, are flawed, are biased. The very assertions. And so you got a guy like Trump, reporter asks a question, well, you think that maybe you shouldn't have donated. And he goes, well, the whole premise of your question is wrong. And it's flawed. And you're dishonest and a sleaze bucket because you're reporting, you know the facts and you're not reporting them. What is it?
You're a sleaze.
There you go. So anyway, so Milo's up there. He says, nobody's buying what you're selling, sweetheart. Sit down. And the feminist responds. She yells at him. It's kind of like that angry person in traffic. I hate you. The crowd goes wild and starts yelling, hate speech, hate speech, hate speech. Yeah, I mean, well, sure, it is hate speech. It's all about feelings. How do I feel about this? What happened to defending a position? Facts do not care about your feelings. And if that's you, you got to listen to more of the show. Sam Berjovsky, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Attorney James Bergener. I get the best news and information for the week from Sam Nation every weekend on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You know, to illustrate my point about how far the media and these opinion makers, you know, these powers that be have their heads where the sun don't shine. This story also broke last week. Twitter not taking down ISIS accounts, but instead banning users who report terrorists. Could it be any more absurd? So, it's more than that. You've got Facebook, you've got Twitter, you've got the YouTube censoring conservative speech, labeling it as hate speech. I'll give you an example. Reporting about Trump wanting to ban Muslim immigration was deliberately sympathetic news stories to that report were delisted, manually delisted, de-emphasized from Facebook. That happened. Now, at the same time, what's going on? Twitter, Facebook, are they shutting down ISIS accounts? No. So do you find something kind of patently weird about a person? There's a news story last week about a guy kills his wife and his wife's body is on Facebook. He has a picture of the crime scene and Facebook doesn't remove it. Says it didn't violate our terms of use. I understand the argument. I understand the argument that not everything's going to go perfect, that anything that requires human judgment on that large of a scale is not going to go perfectly well. And I accept that, except I fundamentally believe that either by design or by lack of supervision, there are entire departments of people that are sitting there that are, and it's true, that are just sabotaging the news. And people are going to Facebook using it as the news. So this is insane. And I guess this whole censorship bothers me because it's starting in colleges, and we rail against this here all the time. The whole concept of safe space in college is absurd. The entire premise that if you're in college and someone offends you, That's a problem that needs to be dealt with by the administration, and the administration needs to protect you and your feelings from offense. Now, the tide, I believe, the tide is turning on this. It's turning on this in a very major way. And Trump, either by design, by instinct, or by luck, has stumbled on this with his entire concept here, way that he presents himself without a filter and throwing traditional constructs, if you will, political correct rules, correctness rules, completely out of the window. And so what's going on? You've got life is about being offended. People will offend you. It is going to happen. Life has no safe spaces. It doesn't. In fact, there's something extremely important about being exposed to different opinions, different values, different beliefs when you are a maturing young adult. Wink, wink, when you're starting college. The time, the absolute worst time for you to be coddled is when you are 18. It is the worst time, because at 18, plus or minus, depending on the person, is a coming of age time. It is a transition from childhood to adulthood. You know, it's not just arbitrary that we decided that 18 was the age of majority, but at 18, you know what? You're an adult. You know who says so? The United States of America. Okay? You're an adult. So grow the, you know what, up. Grow up. And you, if you're an administrator in a college and you're allowing protesters to block, you know, some libertarian editor from speaking at your school, and you're fine with it, you're not interfering, you're not doing anything to protect that, you're part of the problem. And I think it's interesting, because if you go back to the history of this, who are the college professors? Who are the people in administration and colleges that are making these asinine decisions? These are the baby boomers. These are children of the 60s. This is the anti-Vietnam War crowd. These are the people. Do I have to retread my story again from UCI? It's such an outstanding thing. I'm at UCI. I think I'm in my like second year. I'm in a lecture hall, and a guy comes in, a professor, a tenured professor. And if he wasn't insane, and I mean, I'm telling you, bona fide nuts, then I don't even know where to go with it. And somewhere in his ramble, he goes off about his good friend Ira Einhorn. Now, Bill, do you remember who Ira Einhorn was? Is? I think he's still alive. Well, good, because you know what? I was probably the only 20-year-old in the room, certainly the only person in the room, okay, who knew who Ira Einhorn was. So he's a hippie guru in the 60s, broke up with his girlfriend, ran away to France. A few weeks later, there's a stink coming from his apartment. They go in, they open a box, they look inside the box, and I don't think I'm giving anything away when I tell you the girlfriend's in the box, and she's not smelling too good. All right? I don't know where you place a person who chops up a girlfriend, puts her in a box, leaves her, and then flees a jurisdiction. I put that person pretty low on my list of people that I would ever even want to let people know that I associate with. And so, you know, I think about 2 years after that happened, Ira Einhorn ended up giving himself up, or he got extradited back to the U.S. But he lived on the lam, loose as goose, in France for a number of years. Thumbed his nose at U.S. law because France wouldn't extradite him because he was facing the death penalty, whatever it was. Okay, here's the point that I have with all of this. Think of the arrogance, right? You think of the arrogance of a tenured professor. I can't get fired. You've got a job that you can't get fired from. You know what? I may be my own boss, but I can certainly run my company in the ground and lose my job. You might be your own boss or you work for somebody, but chances are you can get fired if you screw up badly enough. Imagine this tenure where you basically can't get fired for anything, where it's okay to stand up in front of 100 people and say, yeah, I'm really, really good pals here with the guy who chopped up his girlfriend, put her in a trunk and then fled the country. And this, it struck me back then, and it continues to strike me absurd now, that these people are so arrogant that they are convinced that the social engineering that they're conducting is the right thing for this country, it's the right thing for this culture, it's the right thing for civilization moving forward, and they could not be more wrong. Because what they're doing is they are creating a whole generation of helpless, whiny, good-for-nothing nincompoops, which is exactly what the left and all these left-wing nut professors want. They want whiny nincompoops, because whiny nincompoops can't help themselves. And so whom do they need? They need the Jesse Jacksons of the world. They need Black Lives Matter. They need Hillary Clinton. They need Bernie Sanders to fight their cause and to get them out of all that oppression. The Democratic Party has to have victims. I can't get ahead because of that guy. Can I give you some free advice? Every single person who I have ever employed, whose first thought when something goes wrong, who's somebody else's fault, right? This first thought is, well, I didn't do this. It's somebody else's fault. It's somebody else's problem that I'm in this predicament. None of those people, well, they certainly don't work for me anymore, but none of those people have gone on to succeed. There's no success story behind It's his fault. Not me. That's no one succeeds. And why is that? Because life is about, you don't always do the right thing. You don't always make the right choice. You make mistakes. You got to man up, own it. You got to make it right and move on. And before I get excoriated for manning up being a sexist term, it's not. You just got to grow a pair. Is that a sexist term? Well, I guess it's just Sunday, right? That's true. We hire veterans here on the program. We support our vets. You probably know producer Robbie is a vet, Afghanistan. And they told the women soldiers to grow some lady balls. Whatever day of the war, right? So this is this sensitivity that we're always thinking about how we're going to edit our speech so no one gets offended. It went too far. These safe spaces just went too far. And that is why the number one, it's not number one, it's top trending hashtags. This number one. Okay. Number one on Tuesday last week. Trending hashtags. Hashtag I stand with hate speech. And you know what? It's people saying, I don't agree with what he's saying. I don't like what I'm hearing, but I support his right to say it. And I am here to tell you that if we don't adopt that, maintain that, enshrine that, as our guiding principle in this country, if we don't protect the rights of people speaking with whom we don't agree, we are not the country that we used to be. We lose the very thing that makes this country great. Please, follow, if you've missed any part of the show, look us up, check us out, visit our website, samnation.com, email me. Got any questions, comments, concerns, want to yell at me, just email. Sam at SamNationShow.com. Twitter, Sam at SamNationShow. And Instagram at SamNation. Boy, that's a lot of words. Anyway, just visit our website. Everything's there. See you next week, Saturday, 3 p.m. God bless. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.